Hey guys, welcome to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. The Fit Dad Lifestyle is a community and supplement brand where fathers support other fathers throughout the journey of fatherhood. We believe that maintaining a healthy lifestyle isn't about crash diets and the latest workout craze. Instead, we offer dads the education, resources, and support they need to maintain a balanced lifestyle long term. There aren't a lot of dedicated community groups for dads, and we know that men are generally less likely to talk about the challenges they face in life. So we wanted to go above and beyond the meal plans and quick fixes and offer a way for fathers to communicate in a helpful, negative-free environment. Whether it's supporting your partner when a new baby arrives, balancing work and the kids, or just fitting in time to get your health and fitness back on track. This podcast aims to inspire, motivate, and encourage you to be the best father that you can be and the leader that your kids want to see you be every day. It's brought to you by Fit Dad Fuel. Fit Dad Fuel is our supplement range. Our supplement range helps support this podcast, the workouts, the online education, and the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes to help keep everything as cost-free as possible for dads worldwide. Enjoy the episode. Here it is, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 124 of the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. Today's guest is Daniel Cooper. So, Daniel, father, special forces veteran, and high performance coach. So, mate, welcome to the podcast.
Mate, thanks for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be invited on.
Yeah, mate. You come with very high regard from Glenn Azar. So, mate, he was very adamant that we should get you on the podcast. And I think you guys have done a bit of work together in the past as well. So, mate, it's it should be good chat.
Yeah. I listened to that episode and just firstly like to thank Glenn for the very kind words that he gave. So, they're very humbling to get that sort of feedback at times, I think. So, they're very grateful for it.
Yeah, mate. And can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and how many kids you've got?
So I'm sort of mid-40s now, right on mid-40s. Sort of had probably a unique career sort of thing. So I joined the Army when I was 21 after completing an apprenticeship as a cabinet maker. Yep. So building boxes was probably a little bit too boring for me. So I went into something that had a little bit more excitement, not knowing just exactly where that was going to lead sort of thing. So I thought I'd go in for a few years, see what I thought of it and take it from there. So initially went into the paras at 3RAR, did a few years there, went to Timor, came back. Always had an interest in special forces and just seeing whether I could get in there. So I went and did that. That was probably close to 20 years in there, 18, 19 years or something, sort of around that time. From there, I left, did a couple of years with the Queensland Reds, the Super Rugby team with their high performance team. On the back of that, my wife got a job where one of us kind of needed to stay at home and look after the kids just because the hours were both going to be working. It was sort of, we seen it as untenable to raise kids in that environment.
Yep.
So I stepped back, picked up a PhD scholarship and now doing some study around sort of behaviours under sort of or human behaviours in high threat environments or preparing to perform under pressure type stuff. Have two young boys, both under sort of 9 that I look after full time around my study. So that's kind of a quick overview of what I've done and where I'm at.
Yeah, mate, I love that. And with the PhD that you're doing now, is that something that you're looking to take back towards the military or the private security world eventually, or is it something that you want to take into the sporting arena and keeping in line with the stuff that you've done in the past?
Yeah, so the research itself is with the tactical community still. So I'm still sort of linked back into that. And I've got probably about another year and a half left of that. So I'm halfway through sort of just doing all the data collection now. Where that goes is difficult to forecast at the moment because obviously it's still very relatable within the tactical environment. So like any sort of law enforcement, anything where there's a use of force or there's pressure, it's very relatable, sort of very contextual within that. But then even when you look at sport or business or any environment, like we're always going to be under pressure. So it's ultimately how we identify threats within our environment, how we respond to those threats, how we regulate ourselves, and then how we react or respond, and whether we've got enough time to actually choose or decide on how we're going to respond. So the context covers everything we do because it's basically a human survival instinct at the end of the day.
Yeah, mate, 100%. Mate, you mentioned your kids are under 9. Were you still in the military, when you had the kids, or had you already left?
So I was on the downside of my military career. So about midway through the career, I kind of identified that I had some really good skills in a very unique environment, and they weren't going to translate into anything once I left the military. You know what I mean? Like, those skills just don't have much value outside of security work, overseas stuff. And I just wasn't going to do it. Like, if I left the military to be at home, I'm going to be at home. So I started looking at human performance, because I always had a really big interest in it. And that led me into developing some of the stuff within defense around human performance. And that was the start of a long transition period. So that took about 10 years, 8 to 9 years, I think, from the time I started to when I actually transitioned out into the workforce. And that was on the back end of the really busy period we had overseas. So we had our first child probably around about the last or second last rotation I did. So it was a deliberate plan not to bring kids up for us while I was so busy, sort of things. So I just didn't want my wife to be a single mom, and I didn't want to be away and not see my kids and not be an integral part of their life. And as I've sort of gone on and doing my research, a lot of it looks around childhood development, where I'm still very interested in that. And the more I see within the science of it, the more it validates that decision to deliberately wait, sort of thing. But we had the choice. We made that choice, and it worked out well for us, sort of thing.
Yeah, mate, I see that with a lot of the boys, and even a lot of the boys that I serve with as well, about waiting to have kids and waiting until they leave the defence to, you know, start that whole journey, because obviously the demands and, you know, obviously over in the special forces, the demands and the tempo is a lot higher as well. So, mate, it's it was definitely on the back of my mind as well. And I think that was from witnessing some of the guys that you're going through who did already have families, and then talking with others who are planning to have them after their initial service. It's definitely one of those decisions that, you know, makes it quite difficult to, you know, choose the right path, because I guess on the contrary, you've got career-long soldiers who do have kids and, you know, also probably have a lot of the benefits that a lot of families don't. So it's sort of that double-edged sword. You can go one or two ways, and depending on that role and your responsibilities, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy answer to it. I think, like most things, it comes down to the individual, the context, you know, what they're at, that sort of thing. The science does sort of indicate that if a father's not around, then the risk of certain things goes up, but that doesn't always correlate to what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, science is not very good at really defining causations. Sort of says there's relationships and associations, but it doesn't always mean that causation. But, you know, we got to a point where we were starting to get to an age where if we waited too much longer, then, you know, biologically there was going to be some complications. And I had a number of friends who probably waited a little bit too long, and there were some complications, sort of thing. So it's kind of, you know, whatever's going to work for you, sort of thing. You know, and I've got some friends who were away a lot, and their kids were really good, because when they were at home, they were really attentive to their kids, and they were really good at explaining just what they were doing, that, you know, they were going away for a purpose, and the family was still more important than that purpose. It's just that that's what they needed to do at that point in time, sort of thing. So, you know, I mean, like, there's always a number of factors that go into these things, but for us, waiting was the right thing to do, and I think it worked out well for us. Just now, you know, I'll be late 50s when my kids are teenagers, sort of thing, or in their 20s, so I'll just get towed up a lot in barbecue cricket games.
Yeah. Things, so. Mate, won't be so agile around the backyard as you might have been. Mate, how, obviously, coming from a high-tempo, you know, high-threat environment, how has fatherhood changed your approach on life and how you go about everything since leaving defence?
It's definitely a completely different environment, sort of thing. So, like, even in defence, a lot of times we're not really good at the administration side of things. Like, soldiers kind of avoid a lot of the low-speed stuff that they consider a below them, sort of thing. That's probably just, you know, a belief system that they have. And then when it comes time to being, so I transitioned into a stay-at-home dad full-time, which meant now I'm cooking all the meals, I'm preparing all the lunches, all these sort of things. So the tempo changed a lot. But I kind of enjoyed it. Like, it's like anything, you do it for a little bit, you get familiar with it, you understand what you're doing, and it sort of becomes autonomous, or just kind of behavior and habit. But I kind of enjoyed it, and I really enjoy having so much time with my boys, sort of thing. Like, even if they were girls, it wouldn't matter or change anything, but just really enjoy, like, being the first thing they see every morning, taking them to school, and then going to pick them up of an afternoon. And I think they've really, really enjoyed having me around all the time, sort of thing. So,
yep, mate. Yeah, I've noticed that with my eldest. I've sort of ranged my day around school drop-offs and pickups and all this kind of different things, and really being able to be trying to be there as much as I possibly can, and working my schedule around, you know, those key timings, or, you know, those responsibilities that, you know, you and your wife have to share. It's definitely noticed that connection and that one-on-one, you know, sort of pickup compared to, I guess, you know, other dads who may not get to experience those because they might work, you know, 8 to 5 or, you know, a lot of those timings outside of those school times.
Yeah, I found it's had a big impact on our relationship, or the way me and the boys relate with each other. Because when I was at the Reds, or even when I was in the military a little bit, there I was pretty good at washing off the day's work as I went home. So I think it was just a ride to and from work. It was just an easy way to get in exercise. And where I was, it was riding along the sea anyway. So, you know, you had a pretty nice view the whole way of work and the whole way home. And then when I went to the Reds, they're really long days. And while I was there, we weren't winning much, so there's a lot of pressure, sort of thing. So when you come home, your kids sort of, they're really excited to see you. Where if you've had or if I'd had a big day and I hadn't kind of got rid of all the stress from the day, I'd walk in the door and just in my body language, they could read that I wasn't super happy to see them, or like seeing them wasn't the best part of my day. So they sort of wear that as they've created that, or sort of they sort of see that as that's them. Where now I don't have any of these pressures. So when I go to school and I see them, it's sort of, I'm really happy to see them. They're happy to see me, sort of thing. So there's this instant understanding for them that, you know, for me to see them, I'm super excited to see them. And it's the same thing of a morning, because I don't have to get up and rush to work, or I don't have emails waiting for me, these sort of things. When they get up, make sure that it's a really positive experience for them as soon as they wake up. So, you know, they start their day knowing that, you know, they're really lovable. They're, you know, we want them in our house and these sort of things. And I think that's really changed the relationship that I have with the boys, sort of thing. So, you know, and a lot of stuff I've read, it shows that kids really only need a few sort of basic needs, and one of them is to know that they're loved, sort of thing. So, you know, I've sort of made a few sacrifices around work and finances and these sort of things, but it's come at a really good benefit for the kids. So, you know, for me, that's an easy trade-off.
Yeah, I love that, mate. That's amazing. Mate, a lot of dads struggle with time management. You know, they feel that they've got no time to do anything. Are you someone that, you know, sticks to strict timings throughout the week based around those, you know, duties that you have at house and with your studies and all the different, you know, hats that you wear? Or are you someone that sort of takes each day as it comes and, you know, isn't as regimented as what you may have been in the military?
Yeah, I'm pretty, even when I was in the military, I was pretty relaxed, possibly too relaxed. Like, I didn't get indoctrinated that well, which is probably why I didn't last in the regular army that long and moved into something else. I have a few hard timings here, like school pickup, school drop off, these sort of things. Like, anything that is externally dictated to me is a timing that I have to meet, sort of thing. So I'll work around that. Of a morning, it's sort of, I don't set alarm clocks. I just wake up when my body is ready to get out of bed, sort of thing, or when I hear the kids starting to break stuff through the house. I'll get up and tend to that sort of thing. So for me, there's no real hard routine. Like, I don't have specifics I need to do in the morning. I get up, if I've got time, I'll do a little bit of reading, a little bit of something, or I'll go start getting the kids ready. And then once they're at school, then that's kind of my time. So that's when I'll train. Sometimes I'll train before school, depending on what my wife's up to. And then I'll come back, do the drop off. So I'll sort of train. I'll still do a lot of extreme ultra racing sort of thing, but it's the bare minimum training time to do it. And I just accept the pain when I get there for the work that I didn't do. and then sort of go throughout the day, just getting done what I need to, pick the kids up. And then the afternoon is their time sort of thing. So it's kids activity, these sort of things. And then the only real hard timings, or sort of not real strict, but we sort of have dinner timings where we'll try and meet within a certain time of that. So we'll all have dinner together, sit around the table. I never grew up having family dinners and I never really cared for it. And then once we started to, I realized just the value in it. And our bedtime routine, we're pretty strict with our bedtime routine. And a lot of that's just because developing brains needs a certain amount of sleep. If they don't get that sleep, then you see a whole lot of problems as they age. And then there's a whole lot of sort of physiological and biological maladaptations that come from that, as well as cognitive sort of thing. So, and to be honest, I think a lot of the problems that we see in the world are because kids just aren't getting the right amount of sleep for a number of reasons. So sort of around their routines, probably what we're strict on, not so much ours. I'm pretty flexible with mine and I'm happy for it to be a disrupted sort of thing these days. So
yeah, nice. And mate, if you could go back to Daniel on day one of fatherhood and let him know one thing that you know to be true today, what would that be?
That's a good question. Quite often you don't even know the mistakes you've made until it's too late. I don't know. I was a pretty open book when I had kids because I sort of had them, and then you got this kid and you realize just how little you actually know about humans, sort of thing. So I was a bit of an open book. I tried to learn as much as I could, sort of thing, I guess. I don't know. It's probably hard. I guess probably understanding the impact that my belief systems would have on them at that age, sort of thing. So I didn't understand a lot about how kids build their belief systems until they were probably past the age where a lot of that had been built, sort of thing. So I probably would have been a little bit more careful in what I said around certain things. And nothing was really negative. Like, it's only little things that you have to say that start to build a belief system in a child. So I probably would have been a little bit more careful with my wording, because I'm pretty deliberate with what I say around my kids now, sort of thing. Like, if they come home from school and they've done something well, I won't reward the outcome, sort of thing. So, you know, so sort of make sure that they understand that they worked hard and achieved something, sort of thing. But I don't want them to start to think that their value is in what they achieve or what they do. So probably we just would have understood a little bit more around how kids work out their value in life and how messaging can impact that and their beliefs, sort of thing. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I love that. That's some great advice. And mate, how has, you know, the ultra running and was it ultra running or is it ultra just events or just across the whole
spectrum? Started out at CrossFit and a bit of ultra running, sort of thing. We're actually just being challenged by mates, really. Like, someone would come in and go, oh, let's do this. And then I did one, and then people would come in with new challenges for me. And then, you know, I'd ignore it. And then after a little while, ego probably got in the way, and then I did some. And then I just started enjoying it. But now it's, I guess it's just extreme racing, sort of thing. So the next one I'm doing is 1,000 miles through Alaska. So it'll be winter, anywhere from minus 10 to minus 50, I think. That'll take me about 30 days. So it's almost expeditionary stuff now.
Yeah. And what's that doing? Is that on the back of sleds? Is that walking, hiking, running?
Yes, that's just walking, dragging a sled with most of my stuff. And then I think every 3 or 4 days, you'll sort of start to get a bit of a resupply, or every 2 days, you might get a fresh meal, something like that. So you've got probably all your equipment and 60% of your food sort of thing on you at any one time.
Yeah, nice. And is that something that, like, these events that you do around the world and obviously pre-COVID that you take the families to and sort of turn into a bit of a holiday pre or post?
No, they haven't really come on any of them. I've only done a few because they're pretty expensive to do, sort of thing. And just being in Australia, so isolated from a lot of these things. So they haven't been on any of them yet. The one next year, we're talking about potentially taking the family over. I just think it'd be good because I'm big about exposure as well. I think the more exposure you can give your kids, the better, or the more of an understanding, the better the tools they have when they grow up, sort of thing. Like, just the more you can make their environment stimulating these sort of things, just the better they develop. So I was toying with the idea of having the family come over and be at the end, because I think, you know, it'd just be good for the kids to see how punished I looked after that sort of thing. But, like, it's logistically it's difficult, sort of thing. So I don't know if it'll happen or not, but it'd be nice if not. Sort of, but they track the dots back here on the computer screen as I make my progress. So
yeah, nice. I think it'd be amazing for the kids to get there and see all the hard work and see, you know, follow that journey and then see the end result as you cross the finish line. It'd be perfect.
Yeah I've had discussions with my oldest and he thinks he's gonna, whatever time I get, he reckons he's gonna break it when he's older anyway.
Yeah, right,
sort of thing. But I sort of talked to them. It's like, we run, like, if they want to do it, great. If not, that's fine. Like, they're completely free to do whatever they want, sort of thing. So I try not to put any pressure on them or have them think that they need to walk in my shadow to any degree. Because I think as a young boy, it's easy to walk in your father's shadow for a while or your older brother's shadow, sort of thing. So I'm pretty deliberate in not putting any expectation on them.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit around and play the drums and do nothing, that's fine, sort of thing. But, you know, we let them know that it's probably not going to get you anywhere. But
yeah, definitely. Mate, what advice would you have for fathers out there about achieving success with their own health and fitness, fatherhood, or any business endeavors that they might be pursuing?
I don't know. Like, this one, again, I think is a little bit difficult because everyone's success measure is a little bit different sort of thing. So for me, if you had to ask me 10 years ago, being in a solid career would have been one of my success measures, having a nice house, nice car, this sort of thing. But now, like, I've kind of moved past acquisition, job titles, these sort of things. So for me, success as a father will be having two really well-developed kids who go off and do what they enjoy. Like, they feel safe enough in who they are. They can go on and do what they want to do sort of thing. They don't feel any pressure from me to sort of get the right job, or, you know, they won't have to feel pressure to get a big house so they can sort of show that off, these sort of things. So, like, it just depends on what success is to each people. But I think the biggest components that underlie your ability to reach your peak sort of thing, or sort of make sure that you go through life without having unfulfilled what you could do or achieve what you could, is getting good routine in. So, and the biggest ones of them are sort of sleep, nutrition, and then exercise sort of thing. Like, the exercise doesn't have to be anything specific. It's just what's ever appropriate to the person and where they're at, whatever they enjoy. But there's a ton of literature out there that shows that if you're not sleeping, then everything from beyond that is just degraded. Like, it degrades everything we do.
Yep.
If you've got poor nutrition, it leads to a lot of sort of health and wellness issues. There's heaps of information on that again, and then exercise, because basically we're designed to get good sleep. We're designed to get good sunlight. We're designed to eat the right foods and move sort of thing. And anything outside of that, all these little one percenters that everyone focuses on, like, you can do as many of those little biohacks that people sort of talk about. You do as many as those you want, but if you're not sleeping, eating, and moving, then they're never going to cover that gap sort of thing. So I think, you know, everyone has the ability to achieve whatever they want, pretty much, sort of thing. And if you're not, if you don't have really good base habits, then, you know, you just sort of, you're going to underachieve throughout your whole life. So, you know, that's kind of my advice, is just to square away those really good base level habits. And from there, you can kind of build whatever you want.
Yeah, mate. I think one of the things you mentioned then about finding, you know, from a health and fitness standpoint, is finding a passion and doing something to actually enjoy doing. I think that's one thing in the current climate with, I guess, social media as a big player, is people see all these before and after photos and compare themselves against, you know, this person over here. And they think that going to the gym or going to the local group fitness or doing X, Y, Z is the only option to get like that, if that's what their goal is, and not realizing that, you know, if soccer or hiking or rock climbing or whatever it is, you can get the same results and, you know, be able to measure it, you know, to that success level of that individual. And you've probably got more chance of actually sticking with it long term if it's a passion of yours rather than just doing it because you want to imitate someone else that you've seen on a picture somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things that I sort of see from social media, and, you know, people blame social media and internet for everything. And I've had a look through the research, and it's still inconclusive around, you know, what impact it's actually having. It's easy to blame. Yeah. But kind of one of the things that I do sort of look at is comparison. So everyone, it's very easy to make comparisons on there, like you're saying. So, you know, I could, like, for an example, as it's coming into summer, I could not be happy with my body image sort of thing. And I could look on social media, see a whole heap of people with really good body image, make comparisons, and then I feel inadequate sort of thing. So, like, I'd look at what they do, but it's, that would be more around a behavior based on me avoiding that feeling or that discomfort of the way I look sort of thing. So, like, when you're talking about sticking with it, there's no motivation behind that as well. Like, it's a more of an avoidance based motivation. And then when that exercise program gets difficult, I'm not going to stick with it, like you're saying, because it's got no real purpose to me. It's just me not wanting to feel uncomfortable. And once exercise feels more uncomfortable than feeling poor body image, then I'm going to quit. Where, you know, exactly as you said, and a lot of my fitness stuff is more around being in the best condition I can be, so that if I'm still alive when I've got grandkids, and the best bet for me to be alive is to have good sleep, good nutrition, and move enough, is I still want to be active with grandkids if I've got them, these sort of things. So for me, it's more around, you know, making sure that I'm as fit as I can be for as long as I can, you know, and whatever exercise looks like for me, then that's what I'll do, sort of thing. So that's my sort of motivation. So it's like you're saying, if you're doing something because you love it or you've got a really good motivation, then you're going to stick with it and it's going to create long-lasting behavior that eventually turns into a really good habit.
Yeah, 100%. Mate, I highly appreciate the chat today. It's been a great insight into, you know, some different approaches and different realms of what other fathers can do to, you know, take control in, you know, different aspects of what they're going through. Where can people find you online and what do you have that's coming up that they might be able to get involved in?
So yeah, I'm kind of on social media. So I wasn't on it for a long time now, sort of been out for about 2 years. So I'm starting to sort of get a hang of it. It's not the best, but to be honest, I don't really care. It's not, yeah. So it's more just for me to get information out there rather than anything else. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, sort of thing. So I can just under Dan Cooper underscore MSC for Instagram. Facebook's just my name. LinkedIn, then I've got a website, comanche.com.au, where I sort of disseminate a lot of videos. I'm sort of starting to do some videos on YouTube just around developing mental strength and resilience. And then I'll probably start doing a little bit of lead-up stuff for the race, so just kind of an indication of how I prepare physically, mentally, and then depending on how I go, I'll try and record some of the actual race sort of thing, sort of video log type stuff, but I don't think there'll be any crying into the camera or anything too over dramatic, but just sort of give an insight. And it's more, for me, it's just more to, so people can understand what you actually can achieve sort of thing. Because when I look back at my past, I wasn't a sports freak. I wasn't great at athletics or any of these sort of things. It's just been consistency that's got me to this point and kind of just ignoring the fears that other people try and put on you every time you go to do something. So I can sort of be reached on there. Anyone that wants to reach out to me, I'm more than happy to answer some questions. And then sort of putting together like an online seminar just to help people build their mental strength and resilience, sort of thing, more around science and some of the evidence stuff and less around that sort of pseudoscience and some of the other stuff that you see kicking around.
Yep. Fantastic, mate. Well, for those guys that are driving or in the gym right now, make sure you check out the show notes and we'll have all those details for Daniel on there and you'll be able to get in touch or head to the website and follow his journey as we move into the next year and into his big event in Alaska. So, mate, once again, highly appreciate you jumping on the podcast today and we'll speak to you very soon.
Yeah, mate. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No worries.